Welcome to Scream Therapy. I'm your host, Jason Schurz. In October of 2018, I found myself in the hospital, sitting across from a psychiatrist who was telling me I had bipolar. I was sent home with a bunch of medication and laid on the couch for a week. I had my iTunes library on shuffle, trying to shake the hornet's nest from my head. Ever since I was a kid, I've been using loud music as a form of therapy. Punk rock and mental health have always been connected. This podcast looks at that connection through the lens of different guests. This is Scream Therapy. It's been well established that mental health issues and addiction are intrinsically linked. For a lot of people, the two come hand in hand. Kelly Betts is an addictions counselor for youth and adults. He's also a punk scene veteran with dozens of solo albums under his belt. And he has his own history of drug and alcohol misuse. Kelly considers his years-long sobriety as a fist-in-the-air fight to overcome his struggles and remain clean from drugs and alcohol. He equates being sober with being a punk. Strength, individuality, and resistance.
My name's Kelly Betts. I'm currently an addiction technician at a substance use disorder treatment facility that's outpatient for adults and for adolescents. I first got into punk rock in my early teen years. I had a very rural experience and would book and play shows at places like the Knights of Columbus and community centers, and would invite bands from throughout mid-Missouri to come, and kids would kind of come and flock to participate in our version of DIY punk rock. And as I grew up, I started traveling to St. Louis, going to punk shows there, and eventually moved into an art house, I would call it, a punk house, you might call it. I took over for my sister, and that became the first house venue I lived at that would also have weekly writing sessions and drawing parties, and hosted political activist groups that we funneled money through the college funding to sponsor for us to attend protests and do campaigns on campus. That lifestyle led me to hitchhike and couch surf from Missouri to the West Coast a few times in a circle over the span of about a year and a half, sometimes with a band, sometimes without, sometimes with a van, sometimes without, to varying degrees of success, which eventually led me to the lifestyle of homelessness, which for me was not the most positive. And the way I define homelessness is I was unable to rehouse myself and get back into society as a functioning citizen. That took some time for me. And then that journey of reentering society after some years eventually led me to sobriety. And next month, I'll be 10 years sober.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, thank you. Thanks. Amazing. Yeah. Something that might set me apart from another person that's sober and that suffers from mental illness is that I tend to say that I'm proud of myself for finding drugs and alcohol, because that was me as a teenager initially managing my symptoms and finding a way to take control and self-medicate and lose my mind on my own term, you might say. While I have a lot of regrets, I'm also proud of myself for using drugs and alcohol to take care of myself, because that was all that was available to me at that time. I'm also very proud of being sober as well. And it's a world that I love to live in, and I think goes hand in hand with DIY punk rock ethics. I'm far from a straight edger, but I do know how rampant mental illness and addiction is in the punk community. And I think the aggressive, let's live our life-ness of it, of sobriety just fits so well with how I understand punk rock.
And you've brought your punk ethics into your work in a way that, you know, maybe isn't so, like, I don't think folks that you work with automatically think, oh, this is punk rock, but in essence it is. And it's a concept that I think a lot of people can benefit from, especially people who are dealing with substance use issues and mental health issues.
Absolutely. And I know in my experience, identity played a huge role in my mental illness and addiction and struggling with identity. And I think to have the position I've been in professionally, where I've been able to help teenagers create music or work on their writing, whatever it may be, is the same ethos I learned from punk, which is we're all equally rock stars. It is easy to be a rock star. It is easy to be a creator that's worth hearing. And I firmly believe that that can help them the same way it helped me. And I think it can unlock an understanding of yourself and an appreciation for who you are, i.e. self-esteem, you know, and self-image. I'm just very lucky to have been in this small town that happened to have a punk scene. Just really odd that such a rural place that I'm from had a punk scene that I was able to enter and learn these things early on. They got so ingrained in how I see the world. To be able to spread that to young people has just been like a blessing for me. It's just been the best experience.
So I think we both know the answer to this question, but what is it about punk rock that makes it such a creative way for folks to get into art and to get into music?
I think that people are generally discouraged from loud individualism. Standing up and trying to have a voice is generally discouraged. I think on the surface level it isn't, but ultimately it is. And so when someone is using a punk attitude, they're automatically being adversarial with their audience to some degree. They're saying, I'm being annoying. This is supposed to push against your expectation. I am breaking these rules. You don't want to hear this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. You know, what a great way to think. I mean, I think that any teenager has a punk mentality anyway.
Yeah.
They're disgruntled. They're fed up. They're sick of the way that society works. They're learning how disappointing reality can be in general. And they're angry. They're rightfully angry at not having a voice, not having a lot of autonomy. I think that teenagers generally lack autonomy, and something in punk is very much a reclamation. It is very much reclaiming space, whether that's a creative space or physical or, you know, whatever it may be. And so I think it just fits to teens so well in particular. And honestly, anybody who's getting sober or trying to get their mental health on track, because that's going to take some reclaiming and that's going to take a fight. That will be an aggressive journey. Getting sober from drugs and alcohol sucks. It's hard. And punk is hard. And I think it just fits so appropriately because of that.
Just to note that you shook your fist into the camera there. Make sure the listeners can picture the visual there. So when you're dealing with folks that come in through the center, and how do you start with trying to impart this sort of punk rock ethos or mentality onto them? I mean, you can't just be like, you know, here's a Ramones record. You kind of have to figure out a way in. And I'm wondering what that way in is.
I'm definitely being careful to say punk attitude instead of punk or punk music, because I don't think I've ever even made a song with a team that was necessarily a punk song in genre. It very much is just my mentality, and it very much is their mentality. And as far as a starting point, it's different for every individual. And what you have to do first is gain a trust. Let them understand that you share the world perspective that they do. And a lot of times they're shocked to hear me say things like that. I don't think drugs should be illegal. I don't think people should go to prison for drugs. Or that their teachers are wrong about a lot of things, or their parents are wrong about the way they're handling their positions of authority. So I think it's starting there, which can be very difficult. That can take months to even break through with them seeing me as a person and someone who's willing to listen to my opinion on how they should make art, you know? So it works different with each person, but building trust and letting them know that you're thinking the same way It's, hey, you're angry at this, and that's valid. This is something worth being pissed off at. You should have a say in this. You're not having a say in how your life is going, and that sucks.
Youth these days, you know, this concept of youth these days and what kind of world we're living in, and I don't want to get into all the obvious things like technology, but very encouraging to see youth always coming back to the punk scene. You know, in town here, we had a lull in our scene, being like probably a lot of towns through the last couple of years. And, you know, I was really thrilled and excited to see that there was tons of queer youth who were getting into punk rock. You know, they're showing up where I work with their patches and all the things that we equate with punk rock. And also to find out that they're in bands as well, and that, you know, we had youth bands in town that I didn't even know about, and I'm supposed to be the in-the-know punk guy. So it always being there, you know, it always will be there, and it's easy to doubt that. But from our experience, I know you and I grew up on it as well, and it was there before us, and so it's kind of this ever-existing subculture, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, well, I've really enjoyed seeing it evolve and seeing it change, because I remember being at a punk house in 06, 07, and there being just a transgender woman there who was older, and it just standing out, and it being amongst my friends and I something that we were gawking at because they weren't passing, you know, to our standards, and it just being this hubbub, to then slowly, at least as far as I saw it, seeing the new feminism blending in and then that becoming something greater, to where now for the past 5 or 6 years, you go to a DIY punk show in my town and the percentage of non-binary or genderqueer people is huge. And you have to assume that they're there in part because it feels like one of the places they can hang out without getting hassled. It would be really unusual to hassle them. So in the 20-something years I've been going to shows, seeing that change has been amazing, because I think so much of what was happening when I first got involved was almost academic. And you would read these talking points and then mirror them back. And, oh, have you read these talking points as well? Whereas now these ideas, these good intentions are in action. It's also been more integrated racially than it was, at least where I am. I'm in mid-Missouri, so it's not the best representation. I think we're always a few years behind.
Canada's the same thing.
Really?
Yeah. Most of Canada is always a few years behind.
There's benefits to that too, because you get to have this kind of old school feeling, you know, in the politics is maybe not so great. Just on a personal level, it's been strange because I'm now officially on the second wave of punks in town. There are officially guys I played in bands with and would play shows with, their kids are now adults playing shows.
Nice.
And I'm playing shows with them. So I'm not even that old. It happens fast.
You mentioned getting sober several years ago, and I'm wondering if you can connect being sober with being a punk, whatever that means, the ethics, the idealism of it, or like you said, just the strength of it.
Sure. Absolutely. I do think that sobriety and punk are connected in so many ways, as far as the mentality you have to have. It's a difficult journey. And when it was time for me to get sober, I realized that either path I went down, continuing to drink was going to be bad and getting sober was going to be bad, but I was going to do the one that was good for me. And so this idea of there being a reason to function ethically and to function to the best of my ability, and honestly, to be something, just I can be something, life is worth it, is something that I take away from punk, even though there is so much negativity. I think that's ultimately what it is this fight against that negativity. So it really helped to go in having lived all these punk experiences that were difficult. It's a difficult path that I took. It wasn't comfortable. So when it was time to be uncomfortable and to struggle and to prove how tough I was, that is what pushed me through that time of those first years being sober. I also think that, I don't want to sound like I'm on a soapbox here. I want to be careful here, because to be clear, I don't judge anyone for using drugs and alcohol. I think if you don't have an addiction problem or an abuse problem, they're fine. I think it's fine. But that being said, I think people lose the plot in that drugs and alcohol are still consumerism. And if we're trying to get away from capitalism and all the ways that it's oppressive and killing the world, killing all of us, we have to include the consumption of drugs and alcohol as consumerism. And another piece of that is that I hate that drugs in particular have been tied up with some kind of rebellious attitude, as if using drugs is inherently part of the counterculture. I strongly disagree with that. I think that that's a ploy, because cops are making the most money off of the war on drugs. So you consuming them in mass, you being addicted to drugs, while that may not be your fault, is you're feeding the police state a ton of cash in this strange circular war on drugs that they've had going for decades and decades now. I think that to escape that participation is important. And I'm not a straight edger. I don't think that everyone should quit drugs and alcohol, but I think we need to question how we view drugs and alcohol as part of our identity and how they are interacting with punk culture. And that's besides all the people I know that have died from addiction and how they got into drugs through the punk scene.
Yeah, it's really sad how substance use issues and alcohol issues and even smoking cigarettes has always followed the punk scene around, and the punk scene's always followed it around. And like you, I've known a lot of people who punk led to some really awful things in their lives, but also sometimes punk brought them back. It makes sense. It makes sense in the same way that mental health issues have always been part of the punk scene too, and how a lot of the bands were singing about these things.
Not to stray too far from your question, but something that's affected me is that the worst part of suffering from mental illness and addiction has been feeling alone, has been feeling like I'm not connected to my community, my friends, my family, thinking that somehow I'm set aside, I'm in trouble, I'm in the corner, and people don't understand me. That's torture. That's isolation, and that's what addiction and mental illness does to you. So hearing punk from when I was 14 to now, and hearing them talk about struggling with the same mentalities has done the most for me. I think more than anything, hearing someone say what I've been thinking and going, oh, thank God. You know, I almost said, oh, thank God I'm not crazy, but thank God he's also crazy. Okay, here we all are together. Me and this other lunatic, we are going through this. That connection has done so much for me. And oh, not to sound corny, but it saved my life. It's always been this horrific dichotomy, this horrific relationship of, is it people that are mentally ill and that suffer from addiction? Are they drawn to making abrasive music or to being artists, to being punks, or are punks drawn to drugs and they lose their mind? I don't know, but I'm glad that we all have this community where I can talk about my lived experiences and not feel ostracized, not feel like I'm suddenly in the spotlight. I've been to some, you know, like whatever, you know, middle to high class dinner parties, and you want to tell a funny anecdote, and then you start with, so I was living under this bridge with these crackheads. You've shifted the vibe there considerably. And I don't want to always be a shock artist. I don't always want to be like, oh, edgelord. But very importantly, I still want to share where I've been from. I still want to share my story. This stuff has deeply affected me. These things that alienate me from mainstream culture, they've affected me. I live with them. So having a community where I'm not some alien, that's really important. We need that. We need to feel connected to the people around us.
So punk rock saved my life is one of the huge catchphrases, I guess you call it, of my podcast and also my book. So I've heard a lot of people say that. And yeah, it's corny and sometimes it's deadly serious. And in fact, the very first podcast interview I did 4 years ago, the person I interviewed said that very thing, and I was just completely validated by it, because that was why I started looking into this and seeing how my life was put together and why I was who I was. So whenever I hear someone say it, I get a bit of shivers. So thank you for that.
Good. Okay. I'm glad I went there. Yeah.
So you mentioned before about how dealing with
people in your center and the youth and also the adults, how you're trying to come in with a different perspective based on your own lived experience and that resistance of punk rock and the DIY ethics of it and just everything we know about it as a way to sort of teach or to counsel or help or even be alongside of somebody who's struggling. What's that relationship once you're dealing with them one-on-one over a course of time?
I think that something punk has helped me get into was a mind frame of radical acceptance. Meeting people where they're at is how they would call that in the world of mental health care. But to me, it's understanding that every person has a unique story, usually a story that is both tragic and very funny. Every single person, I've never met someone who wasn't entertaining. And it makes me think of old Comet Bus interviews where he's just like, here's the dish hand at the local diner, or, you know, like, let's interview my friend Susie. And you're like, Susie's life is crazy, you know, and it's all he did was say, you know, what's your relationship with your parents? What art have you been working on? It's really not that complicated. And so I think that punk let me understand that everyone has something big going on. Everyone's life is a big story. And not everyone thinks like you. Not everyone's lived like you. We're not here to judge each other for minor trespasses and being willing to talk to someone who's very rough around the edges and maybe is even intentionally trying to push you away. That's how they're coping with the world, is that person is pushing against their community, their friends, their family, and being able to accept them. Punk definitely got me ready for that and allowed me to be able to bond with people that wanted to remain strangers. Again, I strongly believe that everyone at their core needs connections. I just think of my time helping run punk houses where these gutter punks and these train hoppers and these anti-humanity guys who were up to no good, being able to have them feel like we could just hang out and talk about who they were as a human when they were doing everything they were to transform themselves into a monster, essentially.
You are working with people around creativity, music, poetry, art, and I'm wondering what you see when people start getting into that, because you and I know the power of music from being at all ages shows and community centers. How do you see that transformation of people getting into the art and how it affects them?
Yeah, I think it just gives them pride, which is so important for especially a teen to be able to see me light up and honestly be a fan of what they're doing. I think there's a sense of pride and accomplishment, because what happens is you just start beating yourself up. You know, you just start feeling worthless. If you're young and you're only 14 or 15 and you're already in a program for substance use, your parents are telling you you're bad. The school is telling you you're a bad kid. You know, a lot of these kids are just not feeling great about themselves, I think. They may not say that, but they're showing it. I think my favorite part has been that, and giving them the freedom to not say what I want them to say. You know, there might be like pro-drug stuff in there or other problematic behavior, and just being like, okay, that's your space though. That's your space to go there. You need to feel that freedom and find your voice. It's been surprising. And then of course, there's just the, when a client has something that's just on the surface, as they say, basically like they've been waiting to tell off their rapist. This is it. We're cementing it. We're putting words to it. And I think that's important. I think that we can have our own progress in our head and we can walk around and say something like, I think I forgive my mom for everything she did, but to put it down in a song or a poem, and I'm going to maybe go home and I'm going to read this to my siblings, or I'm going to show my friend this, and officially in stone, I think this counts. We count. I think that's so important. Somebody to be bored with. Lay around and rot on my couch. Someone to do chores when these voices get too loud. I'm having a bad time. Do you want to have a bad time too? Anything.
That was my conversation with addictions counselor and punk musician Kelly Betts. KellyBetts.bandcamp.com. For more episodes of Screen Therapy, go to ScreenTherapyHQ.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. Big news, the Screen Therapy book is available now. Screen Therapy, A Punk Journey Through Mental Health, tells my story and the stories of others who use punk as a catalyst for mental health. Like this podcast, it links the community-minded punk scene with the mental wellness of the punks who belong to it. To order the book, go to ScreenTherapyHQ.com. For merch, check out the newly opened store at ScreenTherapyHQ.com/store. And for even more designs, check out Screen Therapy on TeePublic. Okay, enough promoting. It's time for some thanking. Thank you for listening to Screen Therapy. Doing this podcast and talking to folks about punk rock and mental health has been a crucial part of my own mental stability, and it means so much to me that you're out there listening. Screen Therapy is created in the Cathet region of coastal British Columbia, Canada, on the traditional territory of the Klahaman Nation. Contact me at ScreenTherapyHQ.com or email me at ScreenTherapyPodcast@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. Let's talk about punk rock and mental health. Until next time, take care and be well.